morning, Nikoko. Welcome back to the show. And it's time for one of my favourite segments of the week. It is Book of the Week with Scorpio Books, and I'm so lucky to have Belle in the studio right now. How are you going?
Hello, I'm great. Thanks, Liam. Very well.
What's happening in the world of books? How is Scorpio Books?
Oh, God, there are so many books I want to tell you about this week. It's such an exciting time of year. All the heavy hitters are releasing their new books, so the shop is chock full of incredible reading.
I guess coming to Christmas time and all that.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're vying for our attention and a place on the shelf. So I'm going to just try and take a breath and calm down and just tell you about Cormac McCarthy's latest novel, which is called The Passenger.
I think I've heard of this, actually.
Oh, I'm sure you would have heard of this. So it's a literary noir existential thriller from the great American writer who's now in his late 80s. Oof. I think he's actually about to turn 90.
Oh, my God. And still writing.
Yeah, still writing. Good on him. Did you ever read his incredibly harrowing novel, The Road?
The Road.
That's where most people know him from. He published it, might be too old for you, 16 years ago, and he won the Pulitzer for it. He also wrote No Country for Old Men, which was turned into a film. Yeah, he's that guy.
Okay.
So this novel is about Bobby Weston, who is a salvage diver in the American South in the 1980s, who is haunted by his past. So he's the guy you call when you need something investigated or brought up from underwater, like sunken barges or oil rigs or that sort of thing. He's your guy. So at the start of the book, Bobby's exploring a charter jet that's crashed into a river or the Mexican Gulf, large body of water.
Right, okay.
And he's inside the fuselage picking his way past the floating debris and the 9 glassy-eyed victims still buckled in their seats.
Oh, God.
But missing from the crash are the pilot's flight bag, the plane's black box, and, dun-dun-dun, the 10th passenger.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is very weird, since Bobby had had to cut himself into the plane.
Yeah. Like,
so how did the 10th passenger get out?
Right, okay.
So from there, he finds himself embroiled in conspiracy and mystery, and he's followed by ominous men and also the ghosts from his past. So we don't know how he fell into this work, because he was studying quantum physics at uni, as you do. Comes from a highly intelligent family. His father was a nuclear physicist who worked on the Manhattan Project, and his sister was this genius mathematician. And that's just one of the many mysterious threads that pulls us through this novel. Why is he doing this?
Right, okay.
And also, he's scared of diving very deep. He's scared of the darkness and what he'll come across.
Well, that's a terrible profession to get into, then.
Right? So he's an intriguing character. And so then his genius sister, who I mentioned, is one of the looming ghosts who haunts him. So as well as being brilliant, she was also incredibly beautiful and a schizophrenic. And she hallucinates. We sort of jump back and forward in time, and we get these flashbacks to her bedside. Okay. And she hallucinates these weird, vaguely menacing characters. They're like a troop of penny dreadful entertainers who appear at her bedside when she stops taking her medication and perform these skits for her. Anyway, it's all very strange, but we start to suspect that there may have been something incestuous going on between him and his sister, so that's lingering. And there's also his father's involvement in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which hangs pretty heavy over him. So
imagine.
There's a lot of dark he's running from, aside from this whole plane crash mystery. But enough plot. We need to talk about the writing, which is quite extraordinary and had me hooked from the first few sentences. The dialogue in particular is incredible. And I want to describe it as cinematic, but usually for me that would mean that the descriptions of place and character are really vivid.
Yeah, right.
But this book is the opposite. So the physical descriptions are kept to an absolute minimum. But when they are there, they like leap out from the page in this beautiful really poetic, gorgeous language, which is in such stark contrast to the grim stuff he's talking about. Yeah. Anyway, that's all very affecting. But while the descriptions are sparse, what you do get are these incredible exchanges of dialogue that are so meaty and muscular and real and convey everything. So descriptions are just unnecessary. And you can just see it all playing out like a scene from a movie because the dialogue is so good. We also don't have access to the characters' interior worlds as we often do in books. So we just observe their actions and interactions and have to piece it all together, which is, the effect is kind of like watching it on a screen.
Yeah.
And there's crazy stuff going on with punctuation and there's no quotation marks. It's all very fluid.
Oh, gosh. And
anyway, I found this beautiful, perfect description of the book in a review in The Guardian that I just have to share. So humor me. They said, "The passenger is like a submerged ship itself, a gorgeous ruin. Iris Murdoch said, every novel is the wreck of a perfect idea, and this one is enormous. It's got locked doors and blind turns. It contains skeletons and buried gold." Isn't that fabulous?
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
And that's just it. So this is not a perfectly formed novel. This is a gnarly, interesting beast that you have to figure out like a puzzle.
Yeah, right.
There's no sitting back and relaxing and just letting it wash over you. This is active reading to feed and expand your brain. And I really respect that he's done this.
Yeah.
Something so inventive and massive in scope for what many people are assuming will be his last novel. Sorry, Cormac, to get morbid, but you're pushing 90.
Could be, possibly.
Yeah. It's an incredible feat, I reckon, to still be pushing boundaries in your twilight years. But there's more. Get this. There's so much gold in this novel that he's publishing a second book next month called Stella Maris, which is a coda or like a response to this book.
Oh, okay.
It's such theatrical publishing. I love it. So nothing for 16 years and then two linked books in 2 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That's quite exciting. And the critics are loving it. Early reviews have been impressed and quite ravey. So he's certainly not for everyone, but if you like strange, eerie, consuming books with incredible writing, this is your book for Christmas, or books, because you'll have to get the second one and read that as well. It's so unique and so intriguingly put together, and the characters are so weird, and weird stuff just happens continuously. It's sort of permanently in my peripheral vision as I go about my day.
It's just there.
Yeah, it's great. Have I got time to do one more?
Yeah, cheeky.
Okay, so I've also been very lucky to get my hands on an early copy of George Saunders' new book, Liberation Day, which is a collection of short stories. It's not in store yet, but it's almost here. So for those who don't know George Saunders, he was named by Time magazine as the greatest short story writer working in English.
Wow. That's quite the claim.
Yeah. He won the Booker Prize for his novel Lincoln in the Bardo, and he wrote A Swim in a Pond in the Rain, which was a collection of essays or a masterclass, really, in the Russian short story. So how they work, why they are exceptional examples of the form, etc. Anyway, it was kind of this surprise smash hit that no one expected.
Oh, I love that.
And this latest collection is quite spectacular. It's an exploration of power and ethics and oppression and revolution. It's bizarre fantasy and brutal reality. It's another mind-expanding read, but not at all in the grim way that The Passenger is.
Okay.
There's such joy and very relatable humanity in Saunders' stories. So if you have any interest in writing yourself, then he is the guy that you have to read.
Okay.
He's amazing. So other big guns, there's Barbara Kingsolver, Ian McEwan, Elizabeth Strout, William Boyd, Camilla Shamsie, John Irving. There are just so many amazing books coming out right now.
Wow.
You have to come and see for yourself. Also exciting, We're having Christchurch writer Paul Cleave in store this Thursday night from 5:30 to launch and sign his new crime novel, The Pain Tourist, which is set in Christchurch. But fascinatingly, he's kind of huge in Germany. I don't know how this came about.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's quite odd.
Yeah, but he has a huge following in Christchurch, so if serial killers are your thing,
oh, great.
Are your reading thing, then we'd love to see you there. Come on
down. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Great selections. Well done.
Thank you so much. A bit dark today, but really just fantastic.
Yeah, I think
arresting.
I think what's throwing me off about The Passenger, first one, is the lack of like the internal monologue of the character.
Yeah,
which is
really
what you're so used to in a book.
It's really it's just fascinating the way you see it roll out. So, and trying to figure out what the character's motivations are, is oh, it's so strange.
Oh, okay, okay. I need to read it.
Yeah.
Right. Well, hey, thank you so much
for
joining
you,
me this morning. It's much appreciated.
Great.
And have a wonderful day in
thank
the
you.
World of books.
I shall.